And Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your leading of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for what you're teaching us and showing us how much better it is to be led by the Holy Spirit than it is to have an agenda. Because when we have you running the show, Lord, we have a good time. We get things going and people are learning stuff. And it's just awesome, Father. And I thank you for doing that for all of us. I ask, Lord, that you fill us all up with your Holy Spirit tonight, that we would be filled to overflowing, Lord, that everybody around us would know that the glory of God is working inside of all of us. And I thank you, Father, that wherever we go, that signs and wonders would follow, and that you'd bring to our memory when we need it, Lord, the words of life to the people out there that are lost. I thank you, Lord, that the people that listen to this outreach, they can't be with us tonight, Lord, would be blessed by what's going to be talked about tonight. And I praise you, Father. I just thank you, Lord. Lord, oh, my. I just thought of something. Lord, I thank you for sending your angels out to our enemies and scattering them, Lord. I praise you for that. You told us to praise you and that you would take care of the enemies, just like it did at Jericho. You told us to do that, that your angels would handle everything else. Lord, I just praise your holy name. And I thank you for getting my enemies and all of my brothers and sisters' enemies and taking care of them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that the wall is coming down. Not only that, the tide is coming up for our enemies. And I praise you, Father, for taking care of everything in our lives and teaching us to follow you, and to read and study your word, and to talk with you and converse with you, and to do the things that you've asked us to do, and to be obedient to your word. And I praise you, Father, for all that you do and accomplish tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Me another piece of paper here. What is today? The 26th? 26th. No? Yeah, it is. 25th. Okay. Yeah, I don't need to make myself any older than I already am. Okay. What about a praise report, a testimony, or somebody want to pray? They'd like for us to pray. Yeah, Missy.
I was waiting to see if anybody else had a prayer request before I shared this with you already, Michael, but I just spoke to Barbara earlier. She sent me an email, and I had to talk to her on the phone quick. Sometimes it's just easier to do that, to communicate properly. Anyway, she's asking for prayer for her and Bruce, and she said that it was all right that I let everybody know what the Lord showed her. She asked the Lord, because she just, the Lord just started opening her eyes to things and all concerning Bruce. And I think she got the boldness to ask the Lord to, and she cast lots. She cast 4 coins. She asked the Lord if he was going to take Bruce soon, and he gave her a yes with all 4 quarters. And she told me earlier she believes that he's repentant. She says his countenance is really, he's really different. So she just asked for prayer for them both and for her, you know, to have the strength to go through this and all. And so if you just want to pray, Michael.
Well, okay. Lord, I lift up Barbara to you and Bruce. I ask, Lord, that you give her the things that she needs, the provisions that she needs. I know they're on limited income, and he's got all of these medical bills and things that are coming. And Father, I just ask that you show her and put her heart to rest about all this stuff, that you've got them in your hands. And Lord, I'm going to pray for Bruce. And I'm going to pray what the word says. I'm going to pray against this sickness and this lack of unbelief. And I cast it off of him right now in the name of Jesus. Doubt and unbelief, you go from him. And I cast off fear from Barbara in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you're doing a mighty work in Bruce. You're bringing him around to understand the word better, and that he can trust you. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give him the knowledge and the faith to believe you, Lord. And I praise you for it. And Lord, I ask if there's any darkness in his heart that you'd show it to him so that he could repent. And I thank you, Father, that Missy, let me ask you a question. Is he off of the chemicals and stuff? Is he not taking chemo or anything?
No, he's not taking any chemo.
Okay. Okay, Lord, it's now he's at his weakest. Now you can show yourself strong right here and show, and you would get the glory for Bruce's healing and his, not only that, making a mighty man of God out of him. I don't know what you have for him, Lord, but I do know what your word says. The word says if you believe what you pray, you can have it. And I just believe for Bruce right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that you put Barbara's heart to rest and give her peace in her heart, Lord, for the things that are coming for her. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else want to pray? You know, we don't give up. We keep praying for whatever the word says. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm just going to keep on praying for Bruce and believing. Now he's got to believe.
She seemed at rest when I spoke to her.
Great. That's awesome. Awesome. She seemed to be at peace then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good deal. Well, Lord, I just ask that you take her wherever you need to take her. And Father, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Lord, I ask that. Let me pray for you, Missy. Father, I lift up Missy to you, and I ask, Lord, that you give her wisdom and discernment for anything that Barbara needs in the days to come. And if she calls her for help, that she'd be able to help her spiritually. And Lord, if she calls any of us, that we would have the words for her, the words of life for her, in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I am going to go Thursday.
Okay.
Late morning, I'm going to get there about 11:30 or so.
Are you going to spend the afternoon with her?
Hmm?
Are you going to spend the afternoon with her?
Yeah, I'll probably be there till about 3 or so.
Okay. Where's she live? A couple hours from you?
About an hour, maybe a little more than an hour.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Anybody else? Anything else, Missy?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request or testimony or praise report?
I
God ain't done nothing for none of y'all this week. Oh, glory to God. Go, Dave.
Okay, I guess I'll talk. Last couple of days have been interesting here. Sunday, my mother-in-law came over the house. She comes over every Sunday. My wife goes and gets her. She's in her 90s, late mid-90s. And she has that sectarian spirit, you know. And they're kind of putting her in a position where they think, well, she can't remember anything she says half the time. She doesn't. She'll repeat herself, you know, ask questions. But so once in a while, I like to, you know, just get the word out, read the scripture, and share a few things with because the family's there. And generally, she's pretty good and pretty quiet. And all of a sudden, this Sunday, it wasn't so. She just kind of came out against me. And I wasn't saying anything, just reading the scriptures. And she didn't like it. She just, you know, it was, I don't know. Some spirit in her was rising up against me. First, she's saying, well, you don't go to church, do you? And I said, no, I don't go to church. I'm not part of the, I don't go to the churches. And she says, well, I think, you know, churches are good. People should be going to church. And I says, well, I guess we're in a disagreement because I don't feel churches are good for people right now. So that didn't start things out very well. But, you know, it was just, you know, because she was coming at me, you know. And I wasn't trying to start an argument, but then I tried to go back to reading some more scripture because that Sunday morning the Lord had got me in reading about darkness and light because we had a little bit of that conversation with Andrew, and that just kind of came up at me on Sunday morning and had a good time with the Lord. And so I got really involved with that. Had a lot of scriptures of darkness and light and what it means, you know, lawlessness and kind of how it pertains to what's going on we're seeing on today. A lot of darkness happening. And so I was just sharing these scriptures. That's all I was reading it. And it was really, you know, it was not going well with her for me to read that. Because apparently probably I more what I'm listening to what David has to say, it's like, you know, when we share scripture with people that are apostasy and apostate Christianity, and they're hearing something that they don't normally hear, you know, they don't want to hear it from you. Even if it's the word of God, they don't want to hear it because it's not something that they are, that's not something they're brought into light to. And so they're kind of offended by it. They don't like it. They're going to be stirred up against you for it. And that's what I see was happening. And so I tried to read a little bit more. And then I got talking and I got into, I had to find it, but it was talking about darkness and started talking about people in the wickedness and the people involved in the wickedness. They're going to be in idolatry and they're going to be fornication, be unclean people kind of thing in that direction. And she said, well, you're always going to be a sinner. And at that point, I just, you know what, we're done. I said, I'm not going any farther with this. We're not going to sit here and argue. You're not going to get in an argument in my house. We're not going to do that. So we're done. Because she was just, you know, wanting to just come at me and rip at me for things. And that was her thinking, you know. And so the next day, I had a chance to go over Romans 6 with the kids real quick again about, you know, basically we've been redeemed from the Lord and we're no longer in sin's bondage and sin's not going to reign over us anymore. That was one of the benefits we have in Christ that we didn't have in the Old Testament. And I said, somebody's going to put you under the old covenant, which is to tell you you're always going to be a sinner. It's because they're putting you back under the law and we're not under the law, we're under grace. I says, he who knows the good doeth not that sin. I says, we're not being held accountable for something we don't know about. So that's not the new covenant. So I was going through this with my kids again, reaffirming those things. And so I said, you know, somebody tries to put you under the law. I says, don't receive it. Just, you know, don't try to argue with them, but just let it go. Don't go there. I says, because they're not hearing you. They don't believe in the gospel. They don't know the gospel. And I, you know, that was kind of hitting me kind of hard Monday. You know, I was kind of a little, yeah, just, you know, wondering about this spirit. She's coming out at me in my house. thinking, you know, what do I got to do about this? Before I used to pray in tongues quite a bit, and it would settle it down. I thought maybe I have to start doing that again before she shows up. And then, to my pleasant surprise, I had a woman that had been somewhat in faction to a degree. She's in the Catholic Church, but because of the things I've been sharing with her on and off, and it's kind of set a little the truth of the word in her and challenged her, she's really diving into the scriptures and she's learning a lot, and she's no longer got this star glory, I'm this, we're that. She's now coming into, well, yeah, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and he's in me and with me, and that, and then I shared with her about, you know, 2 Corinthians 3:18 about behold in the glory of the Lord and coming into that image, transfer that, coming in that image from glory to glory. So that's what salvation is, the Lord coming in you and shining through you. And she's really grabbing hold of that. She's really going forward. So that was kind of, I think the Lord kind of gave me a little, you know, I was kind of frustrated with my mother-in-law and you know, because I hate going there with people in religious spirits, especially in my house, you know, because she was kind of being somewhat rebellious in my house, and that was kind of getting under my skin. But he brought this woman in my life, you know, again, and we just kind of had a really wonderful sharing time with her, each other, for she had to go back to work. And it was just very pleasant to see her being drawn out of that darkness and coming into the light of the Lord and running with it, you know. So it just, you know, just I guess I just wanted to give that for a testimony. So even though you might see some hard stuff come at you and you got to take it, there's always bright stuff too. We do share some things and people are, you don't know if it's really going anywhere, but they actually receive it. And she was actually telling me, she was, and I, at first I was kind of hesitant about it. She says she was going over the book of Enoch, you know, the book of Enoch. And I says, well, yeah, I've heard about it. It's not, she says, it's not in the Bible, but you know, it's a good book. It's not the Catholic Bible either. And I says, yeah, she says, I'm not too sure about it. I know it's got some things in it. She says, yeah. And then, but she shared with me, well, Enoch, that's the guy that was translated. Oh, really? I didn't know that. I don't know if that's true or not. I'll have to check that out. If that's true, well, maybe that's got something there to look into. Maybe, Michael might know more about that, but anyways, that was just some stuff.
He lived, what was it, 365 years, and he was translated.
You know. Now, is that something he wrote, the book of Enoch?
Oh, that I don't know. He might have been.
She mentioned that was in the book of Titus. Titus mentioned it. And that's what got her stirred into it. Oh.
And Andrew might know about it. He don't wear shaking his head.
I'll let you go. That was my
sharing. Okay. Go ahead and finish what you got to say.
Oh, no, I'm done. I just thought I'd share some of that stuff. It was interesting. That, and I've been digging around the side of my house, putting a drain field in, so I might zone out on you here in about a half hour.
I got one comment for what you just talked about, and that's this. Mother-in-laws are flesh killers, okay? They're for your flesh.
Well, you know, I don't know if I'm really having flesh here. I'm just trying to share the spirit. But that was
okay. Go ahead.
It was kind of confusion. It was confusion. I thought, I don't know where to go with this, you know. Read the Bible. Anyways, yeah, I get it. Flesh killer. You got that right. I keep on thinking with a passage with the Lord about all the strife that's good going to family. The mother-in-law gets a daughter-in-law, and you know, daughter-in-law gets a son-in-law. And, you know, like, they don't say anything about the mother-in-law gets a son-in-law in there, but that's, I think that's a big one. Anyway, I'll let you go.
All right, thank you.
I got a question there, Dave. Why did you tell her you don't go to a church? I mean, who are we anyway?
What is this?
You know, if you would tell her that you're in a conversation from people from Canada all the way to South Africa,
right?
In a church
twice thing, a week.
Well, you know, twice a week, you know, and then you listen on Wednesdays and Sundays.
She wouldn't have received that because she thinks the church is the Lutheran church.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, they have that about them. So it's not.
Well, that's a thing that denominational people have.
Yeah. She's 90 some years old, been Lutheran for 90 some plus years. So that's her thoughts. You know, if you go to something other than the Lutheran church, they're kind of offended. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said, no, I don't go to church.
Yeah. I don't guess I've ever been to a Lutheran service. I've been inside one. I only went inside a Lutheran church one time, and I went in there to ask the pastor if he wanted to come to coffee. And he was bent over double. And I said, you want me to pray for you? Because God will heal you. He said, you keep your hands off of me. I said, okay. Okay. Go around walking like that all your life. Yeah, you know, I was just trying to help you, brother. I didn't say that, but anyway.
Yeah, you get that. I was trying to talk to a Lutheran pastor, and I've been out of the church for a number of years now, but my wife's still there. This guy's got, I don't know what he's got. He's got some problems. Older guy. And, you know, they don't. Anyways, I said, you know, the Lord still heals. And, boy, he just got mad. He says, well, you mean all these years I've been telling people something wrong and they're going to hell? And I, well, no, that's not what I'm saying. I said, I just said the Lord still heals. You know, I says, and then he, when he's doing it, he raised up, you know, smaller guy than me, but he raised up like a bear. And I said, oh, I could see this demon coming out.
Oh, yeah, I'd have had to egg that one on. I could see a good little tussle there. Okay, anybody else? That was years ago, though. That ain't now. Anybody else? Yeah, Don, go ahead, brother. Wait a minute. Let me unmute you. Go ahead.
Okay. When our kids were young, boy, this has got to be in the early 80s. We were in a church that's pretty close to Derek Prince at that time. And he suggested a certain man come to our church who had a gift of healing. Well, he'd come. It became kind of a joke. He'd come every November, between November 1 and 15, deer season. So every deer season, he'd come and he'd speak on a Sunday. And, one Sunday, a couple came on the platform, older man that I knew, he was totally blind. And I go down to the federal building downtown to buy my stamps so I could buy something from him. I always like to watch him do change, buy some candy from him. Well, he come to our church every now and then with a C&I dog. Well, eventually he came to that service. And there was a woman, young woman from the university, also on the platform. At the same time, this mind, the man, David, was totally blind from birth. You could tell that looking at him. And he prayed for both of them, and they were instantly healed, where they could both see. I never see anything like that. Well, the girl... One of the elders later told us that on the platform that she was got mixed up with a church called Grace Bible Church. It's one of the biggest churches in town. And they told her she was healed by the devil and she lost her healing. She believed it. She became blind again as a student at the university. Well, I didn't see David for about 10 years. And he showed up at a men's meeting, and it was more of a fellowship time down the basement, sitting around tables. And I see him sitting there, so I went over and sat with him and, you know, chatted with him, studied him very carefully, and I could see no evidence of the fact that he had been blind. He told me when he lost his blindness, and he could see just very well, he lost his job because he was working for the federal government, or whatever you call it there at the, yeah, it's the federal government there at the federal building. So he had to go get a regular job. And he now had a regular job, had a car, just like everybody else. Interesting conversation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. That's a good testimony about rebuking what the Bible does not say. Because the Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. She believed it, and she lost it, and he kept his because he believed what the Word said. Praise God. That's awesome.
I really appreciate what David's been saying lately. And, you know, I think it's the strongest I've heard him. He's been mentioning quite a bit about preachers, what they've got to be doing, or any minister, or all of us have got to be out to healing the sick, driving out demons, and raising the dead. That's our commission.
He said his disciples, you'd know his disciples by the signs that followed, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
That's still exactly the truth.
That's still true. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, didn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. I believe it too. Thank you, Lord. Mm-mm-mm. Praise God. Thank you, Don. Anybody else? Well, all right. Yeah, Dave.
I did catch on when Don said about that girl that was blind. And one church talked her out of her sight to say it was from the devil. Yeah, that's what you see in these churches. You see, if it doesn't come through them, it must be from somebody else. Not, it can't be from God because it didn't come through them. That's what they're saying. You know, they're trying to justify themselves over everybody else, and that's a shame. That's that factious spirit. That's that, you know, lying spirit in those churches. Has a lot of people trapped.
Well, a lot of them come real close to blasphemy when you start talking about tongues and things like that, because they call it of the devil.
Had a guy that's a Jehovah's Witness tell me that, and he had been in a Catholic church, left that, went to a Pentecostal, got to speaking in tongues. And then somehow he got latched on the Jehovah's Witnesses and he quit speaking in tongues because he said it's of the devil.
Yeah. Well, that's why he's in Jehovah's Witnesses. Because he didn't believe the Word of God.
Yeah, I don't know. There was something that wasn't right because he didn't end up there. There was something going wrong.
Sound like faction.
Unforgiveness, something that turned in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anyone else? I got a question for everybody. Should we fear God? And why? Whichever way you believe. Should we fear God? Yeah, Matt.
Well, Jesus, you know, said in the Gospels, you know, don't be afraid of man who can, you know, kill the body but have no power thereafter, where fear him who hath power to destroy both body and soul after. So, I mean, yeah, fear him that has the power to do that. You know, more of a reverential fear, you know, loving fear, and because he is the one who created everything. I mean, nothing could exist without him. You know, we give him the glory and honor for all that he's done. But do we really, you know, love and appreciate all that he's done? And so I think that's where, you know, that fear kind of comes hand in hand, you know, seeing the awesomeness of what he's done around us and in our lives. And that's just what I have to say about it. But you can correct me if I'm wrong, Michael.
No, I just had a question about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You know, before
I
was talking,
hang on just a minute, Joe. Andrew had raised his hand, and I told him to go ahead, but he couldn't hear me because my microphone was muted. I'll come right back to you, buddy.
Well, there's the proverb that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you don't want to fear the Lord, I guess you're not going to get any wisdom.
Well, Proverbs 9 and 10.
Yeah, and then it goes on. When you get wisdom, you get some understanding too.
Yep.
And it even goes on about having strength and knowledge. And of course, I think that strength is the faith and the love. And these are the lights that are supposed to be in your temple too. So you need that wisdom. You need that understanding. You need the strength. You need the spirit, the central light that goes off on the two sides there. For that lamp and the Holy Spirit too, the Spirit of God there, and that central light that's supposed to feed all the other lights.
Amen.
Of course, all knowledge, wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is also the Spirit of the Lord too, because it comes from the Word. And it's also your very existence in life. And how much that light shines is how old you are. So, you know, the glory of the Lord is what the Father desires to give us and wants to give us. So that's why, you know, not to fear the Lord is to be somewhat foolish when you read any of his word, because then you wouldn't take it properly in. Because his word is the last word. It's the end of all other words. His word is the only word. And it happens. You got to believe that it happens.
Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
Now, I just had a question. You brought up with the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you know, like some like practically borderline that. You know, and I think a lot of times from my experience, I mean, if I've ever said that tongues or, you know, those things were from the devil, does the Bible, I mean, I guess, does that mean if you speak it out of ignorance, let's say you just have no idea about, you know, God is a healer, you know, he is a God of healing. I mean, you're just totally ignorant of all that stuff. Does God hold that against you? Or is that just for those who know, hey, this is what the Bible teaches, and you just flat out say, I don't believe that, you know, that's of the devil, like tongues. I mean, I mean, you know, understanding God's character, I mean, you know, and he's not going to hold something against you that you don't know. I have to sense that, well, that's in line with that. But I mean, is that biblical?
Is what part of that biblical are you talking about? You mean, if you don't know what you're doing, most of the time people are, they speak out of ignorance.
Yeah, exactly. About
what they're talking about.
Exactly.
God's not going to hold it against you, but you have to read and study the Word of God to find out who's true.
Absolutely.
You know? And absolutely. If you don't, and you keep on with that, yeah, you're going to be.
Well, yeah.
You're blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
You're basically responsible to figure it out on your own, and if you don't, he's going to hold it against you. Yeah.
Well, he tells you, if you don't study the Word of God, you're sinning. You're going against God. And so you're caught on two areas there, you know.
Okay. Oh.
It's okay. Up to us. It's up to us. Look, I've often asked people in churches, I've asked them, you know, if why would you put your eternal soul in the hands of some man standing up there in the pulpit when the Word of God tells you what to do? Why would you want to put and trust your soul with man rather than the Word of God? If somebody sits up there and tells me that healing is not for today, that it's done away with, and I read in the Word of God where Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he told us in the Gospels to go out and preach the Word and to heal the sick and to raise the dead deliver the saints out there, then why would I want to believe him? That's just like when I was in the Baptist church, they said God didn't heal. And I got healed while I was in the Baptist church. I left the Baptist church.
Yeah.
You know, and on and on and on. And here we are now in this area here where we're learning a lot of other stuff. So, yeah, it's up to us to learn and to understand. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Is that okay, Joe? Is that answer your question?
That makes sense. I think that sounds just like what God, I mean, you know, it's in line with his character. He's not going to, you know, I mean, yeah, you are responsible to figure it out what the Word of God says, but he's not going to hold it against you if you're just like brand new, totally ignorant. But yeah, yeah. You have that, you know, responsibility to figure it out. Is this what the Word of God teaches?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, what I always couldn't figure out is why someone would say that. And I'd ask them, well, why would you say that? Well, because it's in the Word of God, you know. Well, show me exactly where it says that God doesn't heal anymore, and they can't do it. And all they can do is, well, my pastor has been teaching that. Well, okay, you're going to believe your pastor, you're going to believe what the Word of God said. So that's where we just need to get in the Word. And you're right, ignorant people aren't held accountable for that kind of stuff. We're held accountable to what we know is in the Word of God. And if you know it's in the Word of God that tongues are for today and you keep on saying that that's of the devil, that's pretty close. If that's not blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that's real close to it. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how I and my wife, one of my wife's patients, a lovely lady, family, she was, I guess my wife offered Bible studies. What my wife and I were using, and so we went over to her place and started plowing through these Bible studies. Now, this was like, probably some of you are familiar with this kind of thing from different denominations, but it was, you know, all pre-printed, and you have like sheet that you go through, not sheet, but it's a like a little folded thing, a lesson, you know, enough you could go over in about an hour or so. So we were following these lessons, and we finally got to false manifestations and tongues and the whole Pentecostal thing. So we started talking to you know, how the devil has these counterfeits, and tongues is one of them. And so we're talking to this lady and her family, and she said, no, she said, I used to go to a Pentecostal church, and that's definitely the Lord. And no, we insisted, you know, we looked down at our little brochure, it's of the devil, you know. And that put such a rift between us that we just kind of stopped our little, you know, weekly going to their house, doing these kind of canned Bible study things. So, see? Just like that. So that was, you know, of course, a hard experience. And I remember driving home, you know, Cindy and I were talking about, you know, how it's Satan's so subtle. He gets people, you know, and she was really convinced it was of the Lord when it was really of the devil. And it was so sad, you know. So years later, here I am. asking the Lord to fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me the gift of tongues. And of course, I'm thinking about that because, you know, I keep praying and begging and fasting and searching my soul, and all I could think of was, you know, did I commit kind of the unpardonable sin here and try to teach somebody that tongues is of the devil, and now that I've figured it out, you know, the Lord kind of opened my mind to that I was terribly wrong. It was a major source of concern for me. You know, how did I go too far? And it is scary, and I think it's appropriate to have the fear of God in a situation like that, because it's one thing to hold a position, but it's another thing entirely to try to teach somebody else and do damage using your influence.
Amen. I agree. That's why he tells us not many of us be teachers. If you want to be a teacher, be sure you're teaching what you know. Okay, back to the fear.
So Malcolm got some fear there, and then he got some wisdom.
Amen. Well, you know, also, in addition to the wisdom, the fear of the Lord is also the end of all things. In Ecclesiastes 12:13-14, let's read there. It says, this is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's it. A lot of people live for selfish pleasures, don't they? They live for the flesh, and others live for the riches that they can gain for themselves. A lot of them, they look for fame and notoriety with people. But those that are wise and got wisdom live by the light of the Word of God and the fear of God. They're going to seek God's will above everything else because they have a healthy fear of the Lord. Yeah, Andrew.
Just on Friday, we had a tornado in Ottawa, and that should put the fear of the Lord into you. I hope it does put the fear in the Lord to those people who lost their houses today, that day. And I remember coming home from work on Friday, and that's when I got the warning on my telephone, because they give you warnings here when stuff like that is about to happen. And I was going to pray against it, and I stopped praying against it, and I asked that it would be lessened, and that I wouldn't have a power failure here. And the only thing that went out here was my desktop for 1.5 seconds. But people were having here in Ottawa, like more toward the west where the tornado came, like 14 hours out of power. And this tornado like went across the river from my province to the Quebec province, which is the French province here in Canada, into the Gatineau, and did some damage there too. So the people here don't really get stuff like that too often. Earthquakes, we don't have them. And so this is like really hard on those people that got that in Ottawa West. And so I prayed for the families that lost their homes, and they got hail the size of golf balls, and every car that was dinged, you don't get any insurance for that. You got yourself a dinged car, you know. And I never really thought of that, you know, like if you have two or three cars, two old cars, you know, they have to fix it themselves or just drive it like that. And so, you know, I noticed a lot of people at the where I do my laundry here at the coin wash, that it was packed on Sunday because I guess they wanted to get their laundry done because they had no power. And even up till Monday, they were offering free coffees at every coffee shop in Ottawa. And I went to work to one of the coffee shops and got a free coffee. But, you know, that's something that happened here. And, you know, it's sad. Some of the houses, like, were really beautiful, brand new houses. And it was in the Dunrobin area of Ottawa.
Okay. That's the advantages of having a tornado. It's free coffee. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Sorry, I had to come out of mute. I was just looking at a scripture. Let me go back to it here. Hebrews 10:26 said, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fierceness of fire, which shall devour the adversaries. A man that has set it not Moses' law died without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. How much sorer punishment, think ye, shall he be judged worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, of the living God." And I, just reading that, obviously those are, it kind of puts, you have to think for a minute, because I've read those scriptures, you know, so many times, and they are read in the church. And for the most part, if you're sitting in a church and they're reading these, they're talking about lost people, you know, people outside, or the occasional people, the person they bring in to sit in the pews and evangelize them there in the pews, type of thing. But I think these are words that were written to us as believers and disciples of Christ. And so those words, if you read them and think about them, there's fear attached. I mean, there is, there's just not a, what did you say before? I don't see Michael in here. Matthew, Matt. What did you say before when you mentioned, described the fear as a, are you there? No, I think Matt's gone. he mentioned
Matthew
said something about I've heard it said in the church before, and I can't bring it to my mind what he said about it now.
But don't fear a man, but fear him. That can send you to hell.
No, it was more of a strong admiration of God, you know, or something like that, in replace of the word fear. I wish I could think of it now, but we tend to dilute that down a little bit, like as probably normal that we would normally do that. But when you read those words, they sound awful, very fearful. They sound very intense. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of God, there's nothing, no more remaineth a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. And you know, just reading those things, as he puts it in perspective, Moses' law, you know, under the word of two or three witnesses, they took you out and stoned you. There was a fearful thing to fall under the hand of Moses in those days, or that judgment which he represented, and that's God's judgment. So there, I do think that there is an aspect of God that he wants to make sure is still in our understanding, that he truly is an awesome, powerful, and one to be feared. If you're going to fear anybody, he's the one that you're going to fear, because he's in charge of this whole package here. But I don't know. I guess I was just thinking that there are some, you know, and we have to balance that in our relationship with him, because he's also mercy and total love. And how to keep those two together is, I think, is a necessary thing that we have to keep in mind, because he represents both, and he is both. He is the one that kills, and he's the one that gives life. So I don't know. It's there's a balance there that I think God wants us to have. So I'm probably rambling, but anyway.
Well, you know, Pat, fearing the Lord, that's where we start out in our walk with Christ, for faith, and that's a guiding motivator for that life that he wants us to live in him, is that fear of God. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced a vacuum from God, and that's the only way I can put it, where God has pulled away because of backsliding and left your presence. And when you knew God before, and you knew the presence of God in your life, and then all of a sudden he just pulls out or pulls back. That puts the fear of God in you in a mighty, mighty tangible way.
Yep.
And I was listening to a young man earlier this afternoon that he was in a church He walked in this church at a youth meeting, and he was kind of one of those, I don't know if this is for me or not, you know, he'd been going to church by from his parents somewhat, one of those kind of deals, you know, where you could go or not and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, he went in there, and it was a youth meeting. This was a young man. And the pastor called them all up to the front, all the kids up to the front to get in the circle and to hold hands, and they were going to pray. And he said, kind of jokingly, he said, I put my hand in this girl's hand over here on my left, and then put my hand in this other girl's hand on my right. He said, as soon as I touched that girl on the right, my soul went out of my body, and I went paragliding down into hell. He said, I was 6,000 feet, and then I was 4,000 feet, and then I was 3,000. He said, I knew every foot that I was going where I was. And I was headed head first. And he said, I got to 1,000 feet, and then I got to 500 feet, and then I got to 100 feet, and then I got to 50 feet. And I could see this man down there in the lake of fire. He said, it wasn't a lake. It looked like an ocean. He said, it was lava just boiling out and people all in it. Said, everybody had their little space there. And said, he got down there. He got within 25 feet of this man. He was headed right for him. He said, I got within 10 feet of it, and all of a sudden a hand reached up and uprighted me. And my feet were dangling above this man's head. Said, I could see his eyeballs. I was looking eyeball to eyeball, too. And I was 5 feet away from him, he said. And the man was up to his chest in this lava, burning lava. And he was screaming, and he was trying to grab him to get out of there. He wanted to grab him so that he could try to come up out of there. And said the guy missed him. He said the man had fear in his eyes. And he said he reached with the other hand to try to grab him. And all of a sudden an angel took him back out. He went back up. And he went back into his body. And when he got back in his body, they were praying and praising the Lord or something, making a lot of noise. I think they were praising the Lord. And he just asked them, did y'all see that? Did y'all see that? Nobody heard him. And he was just looking there. He was kind of in shock. He'd never experienced anything like that before. I mean, it was just like he was there in person. He knew that he was looking in hell. He knew that that was hell. He knew when he came back up, he knew that there was a God in heaven. He knew that there were angels. He knew that there was a hell. And he got back up there and he was in shock. He said, I watched all the kids that were Christians went out into the foyer and they started talking about the football game. All he wanted to talk about was Jesus. How many of you know when you take a little trip to hell, all you want to talk about is Jesus after that? And he got up there and he couldn't understand why they wanted to talk about a football game when they need to be talking about Jesus. He couldn't understand why all of them were up there talking about the worldly things. And you know what happened? He was, I think he was 18 at the time, and he went home and he tried to read his Bible and he tried to do things, you know, and do things right, but he just eventually just fell away again. After making a trip to hell, he fell away again, and it was until he turned 21. And then when he turned 21, he finally realized that his life, that he was headed for hell if he didn't change and run after the Lord Jesus. And you know, that's the way a lot of Christians are. They know about hell. They read about people who go to hell, and they still allow men to tell them what the Word of God says rather than getting in it and fearing God for what he can do to you, just like Matt was talking about earlier. Why fear man who can't do anything but kill your body? But you need to fear God who can kill your body and send your soul to hell. Go ahead, Matt, Pat.
No, I was, that's very good. I was, I've heard of a lot of the same type of experience, people dying and going to hell, and then God resurrecting them, bringing them back, and the same situation happens. And I get, I'm sitting there looking at that verse in Jude where he says, "Beloved, but ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have mercy who are in doubt, and some save, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by flesh." But just that, snatching them out of the fire. I remember having an experience like that in the early 80s when I was in the Baptist church. And I was, I don't remember the exact time and what the Lord was doing with me at that time, but I remember, I wish I could remember better what happened, but I remember going to work, and it felt exactly that same way that the Lord left me. And I don't know, I don't remember what lesson I was learning at that time is the problem, but I do remember that experience when, and it felt like the Lord left me. And the fear that started overtaking my heart, even at work, and I had to go to a, I was working as a customer service repair technician or something like that at the time. And so I went to work, and I went to my first job, and this fear in me of losing touch with God just got stronger and stronger and more intense as the day went on. And I was being pelted with all kinds of thoughts, including you missed the boat, you're really the Antichrist, and all kinds of, I mean, the devil was really pelting me. And I was so beat down. And I remember that I called my pastor, and I was explaining some of these things, these feelings and this onslaught of thoughts and fears and everything that I was going through. And I would mention something, and it's like he said, "Well, I don't see anything like that in the Bible, but this is what it says." And then he would take me to a scripture, and he would read a scripture. And I don't know how to explain the immense tense environment that was happening in my heart at that time, and the fear. And it was, I remember when I was in the midst of this onslaught and this pressure, I was in the office before I had gone out to this job, and the secretary or the administrative assistant or whatever that was for our office, the only time I'd ever seen it or heard it at that office, and this lady mentioned something to me about you know, wanting to know the Lord or something in that aspect, and I was so under the gun that I said, you know what, I can't help you right now. You know, I can't deal with that right now. And I hated doing that at the time, but I was so bombarded at the time. Well, anyway, I finally called my pastor and he started feeding me scriptures. And every scripture that he would feed me, and I would read it, I would listen to it, and it's like a layer of that fear just started to dissipate. And then I would bring something else up, could I be the Antichrist or something like, I don't see that in the scripture, but this is what it says about the Antichrist. And he'd bring it down, and then we would go through all kinds we went through about 10 scriptures that he would feed me. And at the end of every scripture, it seemed like a level of this fear just dissipated until it was finally gone at the end. And when I came home that night, I was still amazed at the ride that I went on, so far down away from God and all coming right back to God. And it was all through just hearing his word and listening and receiving that word of scripture at that time. And it just dissipated the whole fear. But I can remember that was exactly the same thing, just an overload of fear. And did you experience that, Mike, Michael?
Oh, I experienced that and so much more. What I experienced was God just completely vacating. And I was used to his presence. And he just left me for about 3 weeks. And I remember crying out to him, you know, and I cry out to him, Lord, don't reprobate me, you know. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. I repent. I won't do it again, you know. And I just figured I'd known too much. But one day I was walking and I had my Bible with me and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, will you restore me? Will you come back? And I got a Psalms, and that Psalms gave me a little bit of light, not much, but it's all I needed. It was a crack, you know. And it was all I needed. I said, okay, Lord, I accept that. and I grabbed a hold of that. And the next day it was a little bit better. And the next day it was a little bit better. But here's what I did, though, Pat. I repented of everything. I mean, I didn't, you know, what mattered to me more than anything was getting the presence of God and knowing God like I used to. That mattered to me more than anything. It mattered to me more than my family. It mattered to me more than anything. And you couldn't talk to me at that time. The only thing I was doing was seeking the Lord. Because I didn't want to go to hell. I knew I didn't want to go to hell. And I thought I was headed there. And I had called a good brother and talked with him about it. He said, I don't know. He said, I'm praying for you. I said, well, a lot of help that is. I said, I need your prayers, but I need some answers too. I need to know if I've been reprobated. He said, I don't know, Michael. He said that I'm going to pray for you though. And this rocked on, you know, and I didn't know. I didn't know, Pat. I was in darkness, son. I mean, I was in total sheer hell for 3 weeks. If you've ever experienced a vacuum to where you don't know if you're going to hell or you're going to heaven, you actually know that you're headed for hell. You know, that's what I knew. I was headed for hell. But that's the way I felt for 3 weeks until I finally got that glimmer of light. Now, he didn't come in and just pick me up and put me in his arms and envelop me like that. No, he just gave me a little bit of hope. But boy, I took that hope and my faith jumped about 500% when I got that little glimmer of hope. I said, okay, he hadn't left me. Praise God, you know, and I And I was back to the on the road to recovery, and you know, that's the way it's been for the last many years mm-hmm. since then. I ain't going through that again. No, sir. Yeah, Joe. Amen. And that's the fear of God. That's what the fear of God does for you. It'll put you in the Word of God. It'll keep you straight. It'll keep you on the high road. Once you figure out that God's got all the control in the world, he can send you to hell or he can send you to heaven. And it's all up to you which way you want to go. Yeah, Joe, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no, you're good. Well, I now that you say your experience and, you know, you did, Pat, I don't know if this is so much in line with what exactly we're saying. But, I mean, like I said before, I mean, I'm a survivor of a cult. You know, this was a what I thought, you know, coming out of the apostate church. And I have to wonder if this is in line with what it is. But, I mean, closest thing I've experienced of, like, leaving the presence of God. I mean, well, I never really was before. But I think God was trying to get my attention. You know, through that whole time, I mean, like I said, like I probably said before, I never knew God. You know, and I question to this day, or I really did, I mean, was I ever saved when I was part of those churches, you know, when I went from church to church, just seeking? You know, I had no idea I didn't have a desire to read the Word, you know, and I just didn't have to really know for myself. Or I was never brought up in that, you know, concept. I mean, growing up Catholic, you know, of course, I mean, we're taught, hey, you know, like every other church, you're supposed to listen to that preacher and what he says. Like you said before, Michael, the many out there, you know, and you said, why would you put your eternal destiny in the hands of a man? So I have to think this is more of, I don't know if it's so much in line with what you're saying, but I never experienced fear like I did there. And I remember one night, that's what Satan, I guess I've learned over the last so many years, when you're really seeking the Lord or you're really growing or you're really, I guess in a sense, God is trying to, you know, move you to the next level, so to speak, fear will come against you, you know, or I mean, fear is one of those big guns, you know, as David said before in some of his messages. And I thought, wow, yeah, that's so true. So, but I remember, I was one night, you know, I mean, I'm thankful that, God, I mean, through his mercy, definitely through his mercy breaking me. I was very rebellious at that time. I mean, I was dealing with schizophrenia and so many things. It was just a very dark period of my life. And no one could have told me anything. I mean, I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for that kind of experience that, I wouldn't have received anything, you know, basically probably headed to hell in a handbasket, so to speak. Wouldn't listen to anybody about anything almost. And I guess God had to break me, so I have to ask, I mean, was that the time I genuinely got saved? Because, I mean, I remember there was a preacher, I'm not sure where his church is, but he posts videos on YouTube, you know, and he said some things, I mean, that I did like at the time. I'm not sure about him now. Tim Conway is the name. It's not the former member, from what I understand, right? I mean, who was caught up in faction, I don't know. But he's a pastor of a church somewhere, so maybe it is him or maybe not. But yeah, I mean, I heard a message about hell, you know, because I mean, I guess this one thing this cult was really trying to drive into me, you know, their whole point was they do this to everybody. You know, this is actually a nationally known cult down in Texas. And they, you know, they pull people from the churches. I mean, however cults do this, they're good at it. You know, they find people that are really at a state of vulnerability in their life, at a very low, you know, vulnerable state, and they can sucker them in, you know, and they cause people to question their salvation, you know, are you, you know, and get you to say, okay, you were never, ever saved, you know, and you're headed to hell. You need to get saved, you know, basically doing things the way that they tell you to do. But I remember just listening to this sermon and just this pastor Tim Conway was talking about how hell is like, I forget exactly what it was about. Cause I mean, I was already just emotionally, I mean, pretty drained. I basically went into this whole thing thinking, hey, in my mind, I wasn't 100% convinced, but then I thought, well, if I have to go through this, then, you know, okay. I mean, whatever this is, if this is God trying to get my attention, which I looked at it as that way, you know, then yes, okay, I will go through it. I'm done fighting. You know, I'm done resisting. I will endure whatever I have to. And yeah, I just remember hearing this sermon, you know, and every time he said, like, you know, the clock's ticking, you know, it's like tick tock, another minute goes by, someone drops into hell. And I remember, I mean, talking about hell and just the realization that, you know, yeah, every moment there's probably somebody going there, you know, and that just gripped me with so much fear. I mean, I've never wept like that in my life. I was just so hardened, you know, I was just so hard-hearted, and I didn't really cry much, you know, never really shed any tears, never showed much emotion, but anger, you know, bitterness, all that. But I mean, God broke me through that. I mean, I've never wept like that. And I just, out of fear, you know, genuine, I guess, fear that I thought I was going to hell. You know, I mean, these people had me convinced enough, to say the least, you know. And so I remember just crying out to God at times, like, save me, Lord, help me, help me. I don't want to go to hell. You know, I really don't want to go to hell. And I mean, yeah, I don't know if that's kind of in line with what you were saying, Michael, or others, but
it sounded like it.
I mean, yeah, it's like I didn't feel the Lord's presence near. And also up to that time, it's just basically
had you had the presence of the Lord before you experienced that cult?
A couple times that I can look back, I can remember about one time actually. Actually, before I got involved, you know, I actually met these people through Facebook.
Did you have a relationship with the Lord before?
Not really. Well, thought it was, but I don't. That's why I have the question: was I genuinely saved? Because I didn't know what it really meant to be.
Well, we know you are now, so don't worry about it.
No, yeah, yeah, but it's just like I have to wonder: is this kind of in line of that? But it's like, yeah, like you said, of the presence of God, and I had moments before that I thought, wow, yeah, this is the Lord pouring His presence. I mean, pouring His peace and His love out on me. So I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know. Maybe it is about that, or maybe it's something different. So just thought I would share that.
This Christian walk that we have, it requires a whole lot of perseverance.
Yeah.
And it's also requires your right view of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Sovereign God that we serve. And that it takes that to keep you on that narrow road. It takes every bit of that to keep you on the narrow road. Matthew, you had your hand up earlier. Did you have something you'd like to share?
Oh, I just wanted to say on what Pat was saying about
what?
Having the right amount of love and fear of the Lord. And just kind of relating it to, you know, I've got a less than 2-year-old son and learning how to raise him. And my wife was given a book about, you know, training up your child. And, you know, one thing the book said, you know, you just can't discipline him all the time. You know, just spank him. And you just can't, you know, love him all the time either. You know, you got to have the right amount to where, you know, there's love and there's also discipline, you know. Because if you go too much love, I mean, the Bible says you have to chasten your child, you know. There's a spare the rod, spoil the child, you know. And, you know, if you spank them too much, then they won't know that love that, you know, God has for each one of us, because they don't know when they're that young what Jesus or God is like, because they're the only thing that they see is mommy and daddy all the time. And so they kind of relate, you know, daddy to the father later on in life. So so that's just kind of how that relates a little bit, of having that equality of love and fear of the Lord.
Yeah, well, that's and it's probably what you might be trying to say is, you have, when you discipline your child, you have to do it in love, not in anger. And you do it in love by spanking them and spanking them, and then loving on them and telling them why you spanked them. You can't be doing that. If you do it again, I'm gonna get the spoon. but no. Then you have to tell them, I do this to because I love you, and I want you to grow up right, not like the left. But y'all are doing a good job with that young boy there. You really are. You're doing a good job. I like that little spoon that Anna carries around with. He knows that spoon, boy. His backside knows that spoon. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. He does know that spoon, and he knows when he's about to get spanked. You know, the neat part is it. He doesn't run from it. He knows when he's about to get spanked, and he'll just stay there and wait to get spanked.
I know. I noticed that. He doesn't do like I used to do. I used to run. Mama, get after me. I'll take off. Go ahead, Pat.
And I still run. you know, I was thinking about what you were saying there. I know that one of the things that I guess I kind of caught the perspective when we started having kids, and that is they come out, you know, they come into your hands to a certain degree a blank slate, and you have to they have to understand that, that you have to define the terms for them. You know, when you say no, that the first few times you say no, it doesn't mean anything to them. But when, you know, yes and no gets defined in their mind, that no means that if you keep doing whatever you're doing, you're going to encounter an abrupt end or a stopping point in one form or another. And it defines that term. You know, no, oh, no means this, stop, or whatever, you know. But it's interesting that we as parents have to learn how to do that with our children, and as we're, as that statement goes, that the bad thing about experience is you always get it after you need it, or before you need it, or whatever. Anyway, I blew that. But that's the same thing that God did when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, because they'd been in that environment in Egypt for the previous 400 years. And even though they had a semblance of understanding of what God was, when he pulled them out of Egypt, they brought most of their Egyptian philosophy and a lot of baggage with them. And you figure 400 years, that's as long as America has been, you know, America has been on this continent, you know. And we've done a whole lot of deterioration from where we started in our roots to now. And so what Israelis or the Jews in those days were in the land of Egypt as slaves, and they absorbed that philosophy and that lifestyle in some of its forms. And so what did God do when he pulled them out of Egypt? He gave them a law of do's and don'ts, yeses and no's, and started redefining terms again. So it's kind of a repetitive form, I guess. But anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. Well, Proverbs 28:14 says this: happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. As soon as we start being careless, as soon as we lose value for the eternal priorities in exchange for a temporary pleasure for flesh. And as soon as we lose sight of God's nature, we're going to walk arrogantly against God. That's why it's always necessary to keep your eyes on the Word of God, to keep your mind and your thoughts on the Lord at all times. That's why he tells us to keep praying all the time. So, you know, it is imperative that every one of us understand that we're in a battle. It's a battle every day. And that when you pray, just like Pat's been praying for his work, and you pray for your daily walk with Christ, that we do it every day. If some of us in here have been in battles before, some of us that are in battles now, that we just need to stay focused on the Lord and fear God and understand that God's in charge. He's a loving God. He is. And he wants to show his grace and mercy upon us. We have a job to do, and one of those is to fear God. Fearing man ain't going to get you nothing but trouble with God. That's what it'll do. It'll get you trouble with God. You got to just go ahead and bullhead it and say, I'm going with God. I don't care what man says. And because when you fear God, that's what you're going to do. You're going to have that bullheaded resolve to follow Christ, no matter what anybody else says about you. Doesn't make any difference. What matters more than anything is God and what he thinks of you. Okay. Is there anybody else that we need to fear other than God? No. Nobody else. He's the one. I don't fear what any man tells me. I want to be liked, you know. We all want to be loved by everybody. But we want first and foremost to be loved by God. And when you're loved by God, you're going to do his commandments. And when you do his commandments, people are going to come against you. They're going to come against you. They don't want to have nothing to do with you. When you want to walk that sanctified life that he requires of us, people are going to come against you. When you follow God, when he says to follow me, regardless of what they think, then you're obedient to God and not man. Yeah, Joe. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
No, yeah, I was going to hit the unmute. Or no, did you have something else to say? Or were you done there?
No, go ahead.
Okay. No, I like that. Yeah, what you were saying there. I could use some prayer in that area personally right now. I'm kind of battling lately. When I sent you that text the other day, and just, there's other things, but I like what you said, Matt. You really hit the nail on the head. You know, as a young parent, you know, I see you are, and but it's good you understand that. You know that. A child views God from his own earthly father. You know, and I'm not sure how the mother exactly, you know, to view God. I'm not familiar, you know, having a abusive mother, how the mother's love, views, plays in with God. But I see, you know, more and more how the father, we view God the way our earthly father treated us, and I really didn't have a father in my life. He, you know, never knew what love was. So, I still struggle with it, but I'm getting better about it. But I like that, because I see my struggles with, you know, disappointing people. Or, you know, disappointing God, you know, and I guess the whole concept of fear. I still struggle from time to time, but it's, this is the first real place. You know, I don't want to keep trying to cause people to think, oh, I'm something great. I think, Michael, you said at times you realize, yeah, we're nothing great, but this is the first real place where I've received people understand grace. You know, they understand love. They understand, you know, nobody's perfect, and they're not under the law. I think this ministry really has a good grasp on that, or we understand the importance, of grace. You know, Michael, or I mean, David, you know, the Lord's really taught him in that area. You know, but then again, he wasn't caught up in the religious system for very, very long. So, I mean, God was able to speak to him on those things. But, I'm trying to think how I was wanting to go with this, but personally, I could use prayer. Like you said, Michael, we need to fear God and no one else. And I struggle because I was, you know, I mean, you said last week, you know, as you pray for your job, trust God and have faith, you know, and I still at times, you know, cause I mean, I could never trust my dad. I still don't, you know, and I have forgiven him, you know, I just give him over to God, you know, say, okay, you know, God, you deal with him now. I can't reach out to him, you know, in my state, but I just, you know, I need to learn how to, when God says it, yeah, just trust him. Say, okay, yeah, believe more and more. He has my best interest in mind, you know, through that, because that fear will pull you from that. You know, if, I mean, you come from a past where your own father was never there for you, never instilled love in you. You know, and I mean, I'm a firm believer. If you were never loved, it affects you dearly. I mean, really affects you. If, you know, because there's something about that loving a child, and, you know, a child becomes stable, you know, emotionally and mentally and all that stuff. You know, I mean, love has a major, major development. I mean, you know, effect in the development of a child's life. So, I mean, those are the things I've struggled for many years with. So I would ask Michael, I mean, if that makes sense, but I mean, to really deal with those fears, like fear of man. I mean, you know, because it's hard to trust God. Or, I mean, you know, I work at a place with a lot of just very, I mean, men like, you know, just like me. I mean, hurting men. I can see it, you know, that front a lot of times of a guy who's very angry, you know, that's a man who's hurting. You know, there's a lot of pain and a lot of wounds in that man. You know, so if you ever see anybody, you're thinking that, gosh, you know, that guy's angry. He's bitter. That's a wounded, hurting man. You know, I mean, he's been through a
most
lot.
Most of the time, people who were brought up like you, Joe,
yep,
they have a spirit of rejection,
yep,
and they have a spirit of the fear of rejection.
True.
And it's a hindering spirit, and it's one that's pervasive throughout the United States that I found out. I didn't know.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a big one.
It's a big one, but no, and that's probably what it is. I mean, from time to time, I'm getting better about it. But yeah, I just like prayer because I mean, it's like I hear all your testimonies, like reaching out to people, and it's like I want to get back to that. I want to love people. I want to know what it means, or even to love God. Missy, you said something last week that really spoke to me that I deal with from that book, Bringing Heaven to Hell, I believe, and how you feel more out of obligation and not love. That's something I'm also struggling with, and it's just like, God's trying to work that out of me, you know, to serve out of love, to realize, hey, you just because you love people, you know, and you love God, you want to please him. You know, you don't do it because, well, you know, as a Christian, that's what we do. You know, we read our Bible and we pray because, well, that's the Christian thing to do. But no, we do it. We should want to do it because we love God. We want to know God. We want to serve him. We want to better get to understand, you know, what it means to be a believer. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'd like prayer personally just to overcome those things because they're, like you said, they're very hindering. That rejection and fear of rejection okay. is very, very right. much. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we come against the fear of rejection, command it to go from Joe. We command the spirit of rejection to go from Joe. And any hindering spirit that attaches itself with those spirits, we command them to go from it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that from this point on, he's going to confess with his mouth that he doesn't have that problem anymore. And Lord, we thank you for placing Jesus's heart in Joe, because Jesus's heart, he loved, and he loved everybody. And he loved them, even the ones that came against him, he loved them.
Yeah.
And Father, we thank you for putting that love into Joe's heart. Now, Lord, we know that in order to do that, first of all, we have to have a little bit of discipline and overcoming and understand that God's helping us. He's doing it for us, but we have to trust him that he is doing it. And so we speak it and we walk it out with the Lord. And Father, we thank you. And Lord, when those imagination things come in our mind where that devil is talking to us and said, well, you don't have to take that. You can just strike right back at it.
Yeah.
That we cast those vain imaginations down, and overcome with love. And Father, we thank you for that in Joe's life. And we praise you, Father, that the next time that we come together, he's going to see a change. He's going to see a great change because he wants to do what you want him to do, Lord. And we thank you for his heart toward you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all the work you're doing in Joe. Thank you, Father. Amen. Everybody believe that?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I believe it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
One thing, Joe, from this point on, you start thanking and praising God that he's taking care of your enemies, okay?
Yep, yep. Amen.
Go ahead, Matthew.
I just wanted to share what the Lord done with my relationship with my father. Just kind of a little testimony for you, Joe. I had my father was there growing up, but he was never there. He was always glued to the TV as soon as he got home from work. Never treated my mom right. He always yelled at us kids all the time. Just a lot of things there. Well, a little while after the Lord called me, and I was still dealing with a lot of unforgiveness towards my dad. And I was trying to work it out, of course, by works, and it wasn't working. I had no relationship with my dad. In fact, there'd be days where I never wanted my dad to come home from work. You know, I just didn't want to see him. I didn't want to be around him. I didn't want to have a relationship with him. And one day, probably a few years back, the Lord just really put him heavy on my heart. I sat down, I started to write a letter to him because I couldn't face up to him. And then I just broke down crying. I could do nothing else I could do. And I just cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I give him to you. I give all of this to you. Please take all this unforgiveness out of me towards my dad. He can only do what, you know, he can do. And from that moment on, all the unforgiveness, well, not all, but majority of the unforgiveness for my dad left. I destroyed that letter. And it was a blessing from the Lord, you know, that unforgiveness left. And then, of course, she showed things that popped up later on that happened. You know, we worked on and forgave him for that. But I want to say shortly after that, maybe a few months, my dad had a big change in his life. And so we actually started having a relationship. You know, we started having a common ground to share on, to find something that was common between us to grow in. And that was a wonderful change. And I knew it had something to do with the unforgiveness I had towards him. You know, that was hindering us from having that relationship. And, the Lord takes care of it. We just got to stop in our works and let him do all the work in us. Because when we stop, he starts working. And when we work, he stops. You know, like the Bible says, his power is made perfect in weakness. So I just wanted to give that little testimony. Thank you, Michael. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, that brings up another prayer request. I got another one there. Because you said, you know, the Lord kind of put it on your heart to, or did you say he put it on your heart to write that letter to your dad, or he just put your dad on your heart heavy?
He put my dad, you know, just the whole circumstances with the unforgiveness and the hard situations on my heart. You know, like he's saying, okay, you need to forgive him now. You need to. But.
Let it go, yeah.
I was getting into work, trying to write a letter saying, okay, you hurt me this way, Dad. I wanted to let you know.
Yes. You know. Absolutely. Oh, I know exactly what you're saying there. I consider my mother, you know, that's why I asked you, you know, I'd like prayer as well in this area. I sense lately, I mean, if the Denny and Debbie were here, I'd like to share that. I'll do it next time. But, cause when I was up last time, I was talking to Denny on the Saturday there at the pot blessing. And, you know, he confirmed something the Lord told me, you know, and I received a powerful word that next Sunday for, you know, the few who were during the morning Bible study, that God's going to restore my family. You know, I mean, my older brother, he's going to be a prophet. You know, God has something for him, but there's going to be a restoration, a reconciliation. And I don't think it's just, I mean, I don't believe that's just me. That's going to be many families out there. But just so, you know, for me personally, but my mother, I think because Denny asked me, you know, do you notice any signs, you know, with your mother or anybody in your family that, you know, the Lord's drawing them? And I said, I really can't tell. I guess a lot of times I notice my mom and my older brother are a lot alike personality-wise. You know, they've always been the ones to try to be peacemakers. You know, I'm more like my dad and my younger brother, who just, you know, I guess we're not really known to want to be peacemakers. We want to kind of be left alone. And
not anymore.
Yeah, we don't really reach out, you know, to one another. And I guess, the Lord's been dealing with me on that. But I think he's been placing on my heart to reconcile with my older brother and my mom. You know, they were reaching out for me. And so many times I just kept pushing them away. I said, leave me alone. You know, I don't want nothing to do with you. And like you did, Matt, you know, you were about to. You know, I remember at times sending my mom just these nasty texts, you know, just from this when I was bitter and full of unforgiveness. And it just, I mean, that's part of what the Lord had to break me from. Just that unforgiveness and that, all that stuff, you know? And so, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying there. And, but yeah, just pray for me that, I sense, yeah, this is the Lord, you know, it's saying like, Joe, it's time to let go, you know? And I believe I have, you know, and if I still have to, you know, to actually do
it. Start doing this, Joe, start praying for your mother and your dad and your brother. And start blessing them. Say, Lord, I don't want this in my life. I want you to bless them.
Yeah.
I want you to bless them with you. You know, just whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that for Joe. We ask that you place it in his heart to pray for him, Lord, and to bless him. And Father, we thank you that we're going to hear a great testimony about Joe's family being restored to him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise you, Father. Well, thank you, Matt and Joe. I found that text, Matthew 10:28. And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's a good one to remember. Yeah, Dave.
I've got a text file of the fear of the Lord. The very first one I got in here is Proverbs 1, starts at 122. It says, how long, you simple ones, we love simplicity. How long will mockers delight themselves in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words to you. Because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one has paid attention. But you have ignored my counsel and wanted none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your disaster, and I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when your disaster comes on you like a whirlwind, when a distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They wanted none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore, they will eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own schemes. For the backsliding of the simple will kill them, and the careless ease of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell securely and will be at ease without fear of harm. So that's, you know, you know, you definitely don't want to be, have a heart of complacency when it comes to the Lord and not fear its reproof and don't take it lightly and don't seek after him, and, you know, and don't go after what he's got to tell you and then be offended by it because they hated knowledge and didn't choose the fear of the Lord. Oh my gosh. You know, the Lord's going to just store that up for our day of calamity for you one day. And who wants to go through that? We all been through that in our own little ways. And we're thinking, man, I don't want to go through that again. And he promises, hey, you're going to get it. This is coming. You know, so if we don't want to become a backslider, and that Proverbs 1 just kind of throws it right at you, what he's going to do, what's going to happen, and he'll allow it. He will allow it.
Amen. Yeah, Missy. Oh, I thought you had your hand up. Okay. All right. One thing I did want to get out before we leave is, you know, those that fear God keep his commandments, as the word said, not because they are scared of God's wrath, but because we know that we have a stewardship. We have this stewardship that he's brought us before God that we have to keep. And he tells us about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 17. And we understand that we're going to have to stand before God one of these days and give account of what we've done with our life here on earth. So we don't need to walk around and think that God's sitting there with a baseball bat ready to knock us off into hell. That's not a God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He is. He's a merciful God. I mean, look at me. Christ, good gracious. But praise God. You know, praise God that he does give us fear of him. And we need to pray that in our lives too, Lord. If we don't have a good, healthy fear of you, put it in me, Lord, so that I won't mess up, that I won't stumble, that I won't step out of line and get out of line like some of us have done in our walk with him. So, praise God. Anybody else? What do you think, Sue? I could tell you sitting there waiting to say something.
I was just thinking about, you know, I had a hard time taking discipline from the Lord at first, you know, but I realized that his discipline is for our good, and it's because he loves us, you know, and for us to do his commandments is because of his love. He wants to save us from ourselves. He wants to bring us into that salvation to be have eternal life. And if we don't follow his commandments, that could jeopardize our walk. That could jeopardize our eternal life. So he's got our interest in heart. You know, he's not an ogre or anything like that. You know, some people might think that God, oh, I can't touch him because I felt that way. You know, I felt like, wow, how can I get close to the Lord? You know, but he showed me that his love was there for me. As I followed him, his love was there, and he's that way with all of us. He wants us to follow him because and be disciplined by him because of his love for us. And I just thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord, for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? How about you, Judy? Hi, pal, Judy.
I agree with everything she said.
Amen. Praise God. Me too. Me too. I agree with what she said. That's my Amen. Okay. All right. Well, anybody else got something they'd like to share before we leave out tonight? Okay. Matt, would you close that for us, brother?
Of course. Lord, we just bless our night tonight, Father, all of us, for a good night's sleep, Lord. A blessed night that when we wake up in the morning, we'll be fully rested, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just blessing all of our brothers and sisters here on the conference call, Lord, that we just bless them with an awesome time with you, Father, to get into your word and to pray, Father, and to have more fear of you, Lord, to love you more, Lord, and we thank you for doing in each and every one of us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we're looking for these answered prayers on the next conference call. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, go ahead, Sharon. You got something? Wait a minute. Let me unmute you. All right, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was saying I accidentally hit the button. It's a new system now.
Oh, okay. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? We've got just about a minute left. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I think we're talking about the fear of the Lord. For me, is the Lord says it beautifully in Malachi. He says, if I'm your father, where's my honor? And if I'm your Lord, where's my fear? You have to have a relationship to be honoring, to fear him because we are, not because of some other guy told you about it. It's relationship with God.
Amen. I believe that too. Thank you, Lord. Yep, that's it. All right, anybody else? Well, good night, y'all. We'll see you later. Let me get everybody unmuted. There you go.
Hello?
All right.
Good night.